Welcome to week 5 of the Shy Bears podcast. This is Brad.
This is Greg.
And so long.
And we're here to talk about the unfortunate Monday night game against the Detroit Lions. It was not pretty.
No, it was not. Pretty and unfortunate are definitely words I would use, as well as rage-inducing, blackout-inducing, drunk-inducing. You guys feel free to, I feel a bit like an alcoholic, but feel
I almost
free.
Died.
You almost, so death-inducing, is that, I don't know if that's even a phrase.
Yeah.
Near-death game.
I legitimately almost died.
Near-death.
It was not a pretty game. I mean, no one really seemed to show up except for the white people from the suburbs of Detroit. it was surprising to see that stadium sold out, which was a first, I think.
Yeah, it was the first in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Their first Monday night game at home for their own team since, what was it, 2001, when they lost 35-0 to the Rams. Which, hey, look at Mike Martz. So, you know, let's start with the offense here. You know, that was really, oddly enough, the bright point to the game, to the team's performance. Jay Cutler kept the team alive. He kept scrambling out of the pocket, you know, kept making throws. He tried to survive.
Yeah, he was very impressive with limited time all night. You know, I saw some of the post-game coverage. They were saying that out of all the games played so far this season, that was the game where the quarterback was under the most pressure to find his like sacks and hits and hurries or defenders in his face or having to change his throwing motion. And yet he still had 250 yards. He had a touchdown pass. He didn't have any interceptions. He had a very strong game.
Yeah. And one thing that I will say about Cutler that surprised me is that he overthrew Fortay at least 4 times. You know, the checkdowns that we have set up sometimes with Forte in the middle and just under the linebackers, and that kind of surprised me a little bit. But other than that, he was, what, 26 for 36, 1 touchdown, 250 yards.
No interceptions, yeah. It was
yeah.
He did all he could. That,
yeah, that's not, you know, that's not a Tom Brady stat line, but Tom Brady also isn't under anywhere near the amount of pressure that Cutler was. And you know, it was, I think, and you guys can feel free to chime in on this, but I personally felt, even though we lost a little vindicated in that, people are finally starting to notice, hey, Jay's actually really tough. He's really a gamer. He really plays in a shitty situation, and he's playing his heart out.
Let's just put it this way. Breeze, Brady, and Manning, both Mannings, would be out for this season if they had to face any team with the offensive line that we have. Just think about it.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, I mean,
he's look at Brady's kneecaps.
He'd have another torn ACL. You know, he's really showing his poise off the field too, because he could be complaining about this in the press to everyone, and he hasn't said a word to anyone. I'm sure he's complained internally, but he's definitely shown restraint in the press.
I'm sure Kristen Cavallari could tell us all about how he really feels about his offensive line, but since they're back together. So just in case you guys didn't know,
are they actually officially?
So that's what.
No, they're officially back together. You saw him in his pink pants, right?
Oh yeah, with that's her. Right.
Yeah. God, did anybody happen to catch the video posted on our NFL?
No, I did not see it.
Jesus
what was
Christ? You guys got to watch it afterwards. I just wanted to.
All right.
You know,
I'll check it out.
We quickly forgot to mention something that we're now supposedly the official podcast of ShyCitySports.com.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, if you forgot that.
So thanks, we want. Buddy. Yeah. So I guess give a shout out.
We'll give a shout out now in the middle of it, not at the start, and
yeah,
you know, have to look
it's not really
it,
how shout outs work, but that's
actually,
okay.
Actually,
that's how we're gonna. That's how we roll. Yeah.
But
guys, it is a really good site. I really do like that site. Mm-hmm. They do Illini coverage too, which so many Chicago sports sites forget. So I just want to say, the Illini are 6-0 and bowl eligible, and their quarterback is in the top 3 of pretty much every meaningful passing statistic. All right, I will.
I loved Cutler's bailing out of the pocket. That was the greatest thing I've seen. It was almost like his own way of. Because he can't call audibles because there aren't any, of saying screw the play. We're gonna just play it like we're playing in you know, like in a backyard or something.
Speaking of audibles, Cutler was 2 yards away from having a second touchdown in the night on the last play of the game.
Right.
Do you know why? They were running the 2-minute drill, and Cutler was calling the plays.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good
point. Remember the last time we went through this?
2 yards away from having a second touchdown of the night to Sam Hurd.
Ooh,
you should let him call an audible or two.
Holy cow, Sam Hurd actually like showed up.
yeah, he made some plays. And you know, it's just kind of that reinforcing what we already know about the receivers, which is that they're not great, but if you give Cutler time and he uses his mobility, he's going to hit them. You know, we forget because now he's in a stand in pocket, take a 7-step drop and wait for receivers to get open system, but we forget that when he throws on the run and when he makes plays with his feet, he's very, very, very good. But he can't do that, and he's in a system that does not play to his strengths.
No, and the best plays were 3-step drops or shuffle back 5, and then he was able to get rid of the ball, and he was safe. Anytime they did 7 or 9, he was done. They were rushing for, and they were getting to him. That line is just terrible.
Just one quick thing I have to say about Detroit. Dukamasu, overrated. Vander Bosch had Jamarcus Webb by the balls.
Hate Vander Bosch so much. He is such a douchebag.
Oh, agreed. That guy is going to die.
I think there should be an excessive celebration penalty anytime somebody celebrates after sacking Jay Cutler because it's just so easy. Like, it just seems excessive. But anyway.
You know,
Sean Merriman's sack in preseason 1 game.
Yeah.
Jump all over the place.
Yeah.
I think Ndamukong Suh is maybe this year not aiming to be such a lightning rod.
Do we just call him Donkey Kong?
Because he's just like a good like quarterback of that line. He cuddles him up and you know lets him know what to expect the next time out, where to go. He actually showed a good leadership role there. But I hate Vander Bosch so much.
Me too. Yeah.
Matt Forte.
Yeah, so the only other performer who did anything, and I won't even say he was worth his money because he was worth far, far beyond his money, was Matt Forte.
Roy Williams caught a pass.
Ooh, good.
And he didn't and he got a first down, and he didn't do his first down dance.
At least he had the sense not to do that in Detroit. Well, I feel like he would have paid for it.
What about little Sonsenbacher?
Sonsenbacher, yeah, good point. Also very strong
five
game.
Receptions. There's, 3 in a row on the last drive. Mm-hmm.
There's a major problem with your wide receivers if the person who your quarterback trusts the most is an undrafted player out of Ohio State. If he's coming undrafted out of Ohio State, he's shit. And if that's who Cutler trusts, you've got problems.
It's not a knock on Sonsenbacher because he's certainly, you know, impressed. But that's a knock on Jerry Angelo's ability to acquire talent.
No, I mean, he's risen to the top as a piece of shit out of Ohio State. I mean, that says a lot about him, that he's actually worked towards it, but he can't be your number one. It's just not going to work. And that right now, that's who Cutler trusts.
Because Bennett's out.
Yep. And Roy Williams can't catch, and Devin Hester's not a wide receiver, and they don't even play Johnny Knox.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Johnny Knox had that retarded draw again.
Mm-hmm. So then let us talk about Jay's favorite receiver, which is on most nights, Matt Forte.
This night too, I believe.
Yeah.
Because he's had to take over that role that Olsen always held. And man, how much of a difference would he have made in this game too?
Probably a lot. Because
just to have that check down.
Right, right. But actually,
that's how our offense
but we've got a great tight end.
Stop it. He had, what, 2 of those false starts near the beginning of the game?
He had 2 in a row. He counted for 4 of them throughout the game, if I remember right, which is
pretty epically bad.
And, I mean, missing blocks. And Cutler at one point yelled at him when he was supposed to be going in motion, and he wasn't. I don't know where was during the game.
I'd forgotten about that. He was there. At that point, I'd blacked out. But yeah, it was bad. But Matt Forte, bright spot. He had over 100 yards rushing, no touchdown this week, but you know, it was a big presence in the receiving game as well. And he just kind of I don't know. You guys, again, feel free to chime in, but I'm just starting to worry about the fact that he doesn't have an extension yet, and what exactly are the front office's intentions with him?
They're going to franchise him. That's what they're going to do. They're not going to even worry about an extension this year because they're foolish. They're not going to worry about an extension this year because they're likely more worried about their actual jobs now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I saw, I read an article this morning by Sean Jensen, who, if you guys don't know, great Bears mm-hmm. beat reporter. And he was saying the best offer that Forte got in the offseason for an extension was about $6 million a year, which is, you know, way, way undervaluing him.
No, he should be getting $8, maybe $9 million.
Easily, yeah.
And franchise him again 12.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things where I don't know how to run a franchise, I'm going to be completely honest with you, but I know that Jerry Angelo is doing it wrong. Okay?
Right.
It's like, I'm not going to stand here and pretend to be, like, to pretend like I'm the shit or anything like that, which, because I'm not, you know? But I understand football.
I've been in franchises.
Yeah. Well,
I feel like
some 12-year-old who's number one at Madden could do a better job than mm-hmm. fucking Jerry Angelo at this
yeah.
point.
And the problem is, as well, if you treat Forte badly, then that affects
everyone
else. Do free agents want to come here? How do the rest of the players, what's their attitude about the front office when they do renegotiation?
You know, there's a reason Harvey Dahl signed with the Rams instead of the Bears.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, because we heard of them really going after no big names outside of the few that we've heard that didn't come here. They weren't really all that big. But maybe the Bears, you know, put the feelers out, and they just said straight out no, and that was the end of it. That's why we never heard, because they knew what was here. I mean, how does Jerry Angelo sign players and draft players when he's got scouts and people who for talent who obviously are telling him who to pick, and I'm assuming they're telling him to pick people who he's not, and like how do they work with him?
Well, they're not very good at their jobs, clearly. So that's all.
I think I wouldn't surprise me if the scouts are telling him one thing and he's just going a completely different direction.
Yeah,
he thinks
that
it's best.
Could be it. Maybe he's just a maniac.
We need to undertake a quest to kill Jerry Angelo. Who's with me?
Occupy Hallis Hall.
Yes, Occupy House. We are the 99% that doesn't think our offensive line is any good and wants us to
honestly
defensive players that don't suck.
Honestly, like, in high school I played running back, so I don't know much about the offensive line except that, you know, they fucking block. But like, looking at some of those plays, I look at Frank, I look at Jamarcus Webb, and I'm like just me standing there and shoving my face into that guy's gut would have done a better job than Franco Mignoli tapping him a little bit on the shoulder as he's sacking cover.
He's
a
revolving
door.
Sure,
it
seems really like
is.
It. Well, let's focus on that for a little bit. And, you know, I don't think we need to go into a ton of detail because we all know their performance was terrible, and every Bears fan knows that at this point. I do want to point out that our offensive line over the past 2 years, we do have two records now for futility. Last year we got that record for sacks in the first half against the Giants, and this year we got the record for most false starts in the first half. So there is some optimism, guys. Our offensive, we have a record-setting offensive line, so I'm going to start telling people that.
Wow.
So what's this news? I didn't know that Karimi, I mean, I assumed this, but I wouldn't be back until after the bye.
Yeah, you know, I think he's not ready to be back against the Vikings, and he's not ready to, he won't be back against the Bucks, and then it's the bye, so I think they're just going to give him the 3 weeks off, and this was from Brad Biggs, they'll just give him the 3 weeks off, and he'll be back for the Eagles game.
You're better off that way, because...
Yeah. I think so, because look,
he needs
at this
to be 100%.
Point,
yeah, he needs to be 100%, and if we have any hope of being, and we'll get to this topic later, but if we have any hope of being a consistent winner over the next couple of years, we need to develop the offensive line we have, since mm-hmm. apparently we can't draft or sign replacements. So let's just wait till let's not have him play injured all year.
So I bet our friend in Minnesota, Jared Allen is pretty excited to line up against either Franco Mialli or Jamarcus Webb.
Oh yeah, he probably is going to have an erection all week.
He has, I think he has either 4 or 6 sacks.
He's got 6, and then this person, it's like he's got like 9, and the person in second place has 6 or something or 5.
Yeah. You're right.
It's a huge gap.
So Jared Allen's looking to make an NFL record in one night.
Yeah, he probably could. What? And sadly, that would be beating the record set against us. So,
yay again!
It'll happen. I'm sure it will. It's a night game. It's not going to go well.
And you know, our line is epically bad, but we do have to give a little bit of credit to Detroit. I think. I mean, Vandenbosch is a douche, but he's good. There was a lot of noise. You could just see it. The players, they got beat every play, and they got nervous, and they got jumpy. Detroit uses that wide 9 defense with the defensive tackles and the defensive linemen all spaced out, so they can just, and when you have somebody as slow as freaking Jamarcus Webb and as stupid as Frank, then they can just run around him. And since Cutler's dropping back 7 steps, then he's, oh hey, what's up guys.
Maybe they were afraid of all the noise and people in the stands, because normally when you hear that many people or see that many people in Detroit, you're either going to be killed or be robbed.
Yeah, it's probably a riot, and there are things on fire. So maybe they were looking for the fires. I don't know.
By the way, Jared Allen has 8.5 sacks this year.
Okay, excellent. Well,
yeah, that's, and it's a huge gap the second. It's ridiculous.
I'm going to say 11.5 by this time next week.
15.
At least 3.
Let's see here. Receivers. I mean, we talked about the receivers a bit already. I mean, there's, how much is there more to touch on that? They were dropping balls. They weren't helping out at all. And
Sonsenbacher caught the ball 3 times in a row on our last drive.
Yeah, that was good. He needs to play more, especially since Roy Williams and Johnny Knox aren't doing anything.
Williams is a joke.
Yeah, he is.
All right,
the only other thing to mention is just it continues to be that. Bad news about Earl Bennett. You know, he's not expected to be back soon. And so apparently it's a pretty serious injury, the injury he has. So they said they'd know more later this week. But
what exactly is it that he's hurt with?
They haven't been very forthcoming, I assume intentionally, but he has a chest injury. So
it sounds like he's either got a broken rib or
probably
it's a torso injury.
Yeah.
In week 2.
Torn cartilage. That's when he got nailed right in the ribs, yeah. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's got to be cartilage or ribs, and those never, it's hard to come back from those.
Yeah, especially if you're the receiver who goes over the middle and gets hit constantly. Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine do you remember how many injuries we had last year? Close to none.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And this year.
This is 5.
And that plays a big role in how they've gone so far this year.
Oh my god, do you guys remember 09 when Erlacher went down at the beginning of the season with a broken wrist?
Yes. Yeah.
Holy shit, that was terrifying.
That was very bad. And the being terrified was justified because we were really, really stinky that year.
Yeah. What was it, 7-9?
Yes. But we weren't that good. So we just played really bad teams.
Otherwise, we had Neckbeer under center, didn't we?
4-8. No, that was our first year with Cutler.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
2009?
Yeah. That was the year he threw all those
interceptions. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was 26 for 22 or something.
Yep.
And that was his second year. I need to look at my stats.
All right. Do we want to move on to the defense and talk about that?
Yeah, sure.
Well, first big thing, the biggest news out of Monday is that Peppers has a sprained MCO.
Yeah. And supposedly a minor one, and you know, I've heard conflicting reports on whether or not he'll play Sunday. He was saying he hopes to practice Friday, and we have that in common. I hope he practiced Friday as well.
Put him in a knee brace, and I'm sure he's going to try to play. We know he will. He came back during the game.
The guy's a monster.
He is.
I mean, without him, you could see the difference, but in our line, it's night and day.
Yeah, absolutely. And going up against a running team as strong as the Vikings, we definitely need him and his impact.
Oh my god, we gave up 155 yards to Jarvis Best.
Hey, a lot of that is on Lance Briggs.
Right. Yes.
he bit on the quarterback, dive into the left, and
yeah, he's an idiot.
But that 33-yard touchdown, that was a missed tackle by Bryant. You saw that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he did miss it. He did. Wow. Also, both of the long touchdowns the Lion had, the pass to Chris Johnson and the run by Javid Best, Peppers was not on the field for both of those. So that's just, again, that's mm-hmm. not.
Without that good. Rush, they're not scared because we have no secondary.
Merriweather right. just right. bouncing around.
Merriweather right is an idiot. Major Wright is an idiot. Craig Seltz is an idiot.
I mean, Chris Harris gets a pass because he's probably only 70%.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's... Man, we need you at 100. Don't even bother playing.
Yeah. And the other injury news is Matt Tuinez.
Mm-hmm.
He had a serious PCL injury, and he's expected to be out for a couple weeks. So, again, that's not good for our defensive line depth.
No, and without them, we're dead in the water because
yeah, you'll see a lot of Corey Wooten, and maybe Steven Paella will make an appearance. I don't know. He hasn't done anything yet. Maybe he'll actually dress for a game. We can see more Jerry Angelo busts.
All right,
second round defensive tackle, really, really Jerry.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
So, you know, let's talk about what the Bears' problems have been. With this defense, you know.
Hold on one second.
Yep.
Just so you guys know, in rush defense, I believe Pittsburgh Steelers are number 13 and we're number 14. Two of the best run defenses have dropped down to being average.
Yeah, that's sad.
That's age, honestly.
Sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is, and we haven't even played very good running teams. I mean, the Lions were like straight up the worst until they came in and racked up all those yards against mm-hmm. us on like three runs, and you know the Packers barely run the ball. I guess Carolina runs the ball, but
yeah, but D'Angelo Williams,
yeah,
Jonathan Stewart's the one we have to worry about.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, so yeah, let's talk about this defense. You know, how bad is it really?
Terrible.
It's pretty bad. Now, you know, one thing that's definitely worth mentioning is we have played a lot of really, really good offenses. You know, I think we've played, according to NFL.com, four of the top 10 offenses, and three of those are in the top five. So it's probably not as bad as it looks, but it's pretty bad.
And if you just look at it from a different, completely different point of view, the offense played good. Played well on Monday. When was the last time you were able to say that the Chicago Bears defense lost us the game?
Years ago.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't think I've ever been able to say that since 2006.
It was that year that Urlacher was out.
Definitely.
Because there were games when that year that Urlacher was out.
Yeah, you kind of can't. You kind of can't count that game. That's true. No. But
there were games that year where the offense won the game for them or kept them in it when Urlacher was out. But
like,
that's it.
And the other
shocked me.
The other big problem is, you know, and it's the bread and butter of the Bears' defense. Usually, it's turnovers, and we just haven't seen that many turnovers. And the turnovers that we have seen have been like flukes, or at the end of the half, or the end of the game, and just haven't, you know, done anything to help us. We haven't had any of those clutch turnovers to set up good field position. Stop drive. I don't know what just fell. That was probably the sound of our chances for the rest of the season falling dramatically.
I'm playing with quarters. I'm sorry.
Oh, you sound like the Lions playing with a quarterback.
That was Jay hitting.
You know, I would take defensive stops over turnovers.
That's true. Yeah.
I don't need timely turnovers now. I need defensive stops. I don't need Tillman letting the guy gain an extra 5 yards while he's trying to pop the ball out. I need you to tackle him where he caught the ball. I need you to cover him when he's going into his route. I need you to hit Calvin Johnson in the face in the first 5 yards and actually cover him. Not go for a strip or go for an interception. Hit him. And, you know, stop the drives instead of, oh, let's try to get the ball back, because if you stop the drive, you'll get the ball back, and things will come that way. It'll happen. It's a work in progress with that, but just stop going for the strip.
Yeah.
It bothers me now. It frustrates me now, because we don't need that right now. We just need the defense to put up stops.
Yeah. And you know, the Pats, or excuse me, sorry, the Pack and the Lions, we both, just looking at their average points per game, you know, we both performed at least okay with them, and on average about a touchdown less than they usually scored. But, you know, that's not really helpful, and we expect better than that. And especially, you know, the Saints and the Panthers scored a lot of points on us. The Falcons, obviously, we crushed them, but that's not really...
Yeah, but even the Falcons look like they're not...
That's clearly the exception. Yeah, that's clearly the exception and not the rule.
That first game was fucking...
Yeah, I wish.
That's because the Falcons are going to be finishing in third place in their division this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're not going to get to the playoffs.
Fourth. Let's see if Candy Camp can do something about that.
All right.
We are plus +3 in the turnover margin, but part of that is because we've only lost one fumble, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, not as many interceptions so far this year. You know, they're looking better overall in that. So, you know, still.
Oh, can we just say one thing? Fuck you, Logan. Just fuck you. He did not gain that fucking yard.
Who? Wait. No.
Matt did not gain that fucking yard on 4th-and-1.
Oh, yeah, no. That was...
You fucking...
We should have kicked the field goal. I don't understand why we didn't. Like, Robbie Gould hits that 99 out of 100 times, and that would have put us... We would have gone in at half, like, up 13-7, mm-hmm. and probably wouldn't have ultimately mattered, but that was just a stupid decision.
You know,
can't
it,
do short yardage running.
You can't... They were obviously not going to jump on a hard count. I mean...
Yeah.
And so you blow a timeout there. Jay had to blow one
They're
before.
Not the Eagles.
Yeah, exactly.
And God, that challenge was so stupid because then you couldn't try to get him on a hard count later in the quarter because you don't have that luxury of a timeout anymore. That was the stupidest thing. And then they didn't use him in the second half with the timeouts and challenges like they should have. So because Lovey's an idiot.
And, like, I've never been the guy to call for Lovey's head, ever. But you know what? Like, right now, considering it.
I want everyone fired.
It's like,
it does feel that way.
If you're not, if you're an ex-St. Louis Ram, or if you're an ex-Detroit Lion, except unless you're Rod Marinelli, get the fuck out. Seriously, just get the fuck out. It's
yeah.
Like, these players that Moritz picks up from free agency, you know, they were good back in fucking 99 when the Rams won the Super Bowl. They were good then.
I'm surprised they didn't try to sign Terry Holt.
10 years later, Brandon Manuelo, the tight end we had, the motherfucker couldn't pass a physical. You know what? The beginning of this season.
Yep.
It's like the personnel decisions that we make are killing us because we're living in the past, and you know, the coaches, they're okay. Rod's fine. Tice is doing fine.
Well, yeah,
I can't believe I just said that. My God.
Considering what he's got, he's certainly not the worst coach ever. But I mean, I think you know.
I want this buddy thing to just stop. I want it to end because Lovey was an assistant coach to Martz back in 04 or back in 06 or whatever the fuck. Martz was the head coach of the St. Louis Rams. Just because that happened doesn't mean that Martz should be getting the offensive coordinator if somebody else is more qualified.
But here's the problem, and we saw this, you know, in the offseason after the 2009 season, is that nobody wanted to come here. Martz was like the only person even willing to interview, and you know, I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's a money issue or if it's if it's a Mac, my guess is it's probably the family, or if it's they see the mess that the Bears are and don't want that on their resume, but you know, he was like the only guy we could get.
You know who I just thought, because he was available at the time, because he just got fired from his college gig, who may have turned out to be pretty darn good as an offensive coordinator for us, would have been Charlie Weiss.
Yeah, definitely.
Because look what he did with the Chiefs in one or two years.
Yeah,
the Chiefs were great, you know, offensively. Look what he's doing in Florida now. Florida actually looks good with their offense again. Should have signed him.
Right.
Should have tried to get him because Notre Dame didn't want him anymore.
Who knows? Maybe we did, but I don't know. So, I think it's pretty clear. You know, obviously, as far as coaches goes, Marinelli and Tice do what they can. Lovey, not great results on defense this year, but does what he can. And Mike Martz. I mean, how many times do we have to
beat
the dead horse of his system is terrible and he needs
to... Why did we sign Roy Williams? Why? Think about that.
Because he was cheap.
No. Who was his coach?
Over $1 million?
Because he was in Mike Martz's system. I mean, part of that is the short off season, right? You can't bring in someone and have them learn the system fast enough. So that was kind of, I guess, you know, just close your eyes and get it over with. But it sucked.
Sonsenbacher seems to have.
Exactly.
You could have brought in someone and... You're not looking to develop the playbook over the preseason. You're looking to develop the playbook over the year, over the season.
Yeah.
Here's a wild idea. Here's a crazy fucking idea, guys. Why not draft a receiver?
When was the last receiver they even drafted that was, like, first round?
It was Johnny Knox, I think. Oh, first round? Never.
Johnny Knox in the sixth. Yes. And Earl Bennett the year before, and I think the third, and there was Joaquin Iglesias the same year in the third, but...
Iglesias, fuck that guy, dude. What a joke.
Yeah, he was a waste of space. And that's another draft pick that Jerry Angelo whiffed on. So...
DraftHistory.com, this is actually interesting. Oh, look at that.
I think the biggest thing... you know, I think we're all starting to realize we're definitely not as good as we looked in week one, and we definitely somehow are worse than last year on offense and on defense. And the biggest thing is, like, you know, this season is just, and it to me so far, an indictment of Jerry Angelo, because he knew 100% what the problems were with our squad, and he did nothing concrete to address them. He made a pass at one offensive lineman to his credit who turned him down. He did draft Creamy in the first round, and that's looking like a good pick, but that was pretty much it.
Here's our last first round wide receiver that was picked by the Bears. David Terrell in 2001.
Yeah, that's not good.
Oh my god, I'm looking through these names and laughing. Justin Gage.
And I just want to read some of the, again, while we're talking about Jerry Angelo, want to read some of the draft picks from the past couple of years that have just gone nowhere. So you have, you know, Joshua Moore, who got cut from the team in this offseason. Well, he was only a six-round pick, but Henry Melton hasn't done much yet. Joaquin Iglesias, third-round pick. Jaron Gilbert, third-round defensive end. That was in 2009, and they're both no longer on the team. Al Afalava, he was terrible.
Awful.
2008, decent draft, right? Chris Williams, Matt Forte, Earl Bennett. All contributors.
Oh, except when you get down to Marcus Harrison, Craig Stelz.
Right, not as much contributors. Bowman's on the team. Kellen Davis is still on the team. But 2007, right?
How do you have that many picks? How do you have that many picks in 2008 and not have anyone... even, like, producing really out of that, or have anyone that's turned up to be huge.
Right, and for those of you who can't see it, they had 12 picks in 2008. And they picked 14th overall and 13th in the second round, 7 in the third round. So they had really good picks, and they had a ton of later-round picks, and they actually got some, you know, none of those later-round picks are on. I don't even know who Marcus Monk is, but he's a wide receiver out of Arkansas that was... is no longer on the team.
So guys, hold on a second. Let's pull up the draft picks we have for this upcoming draft.
It's pretty much just the standard seven plus the third round we got from Carolina, right?
All right. Okay.
So we got a second round from Carolina.
What do you draft in the first round?
Another offensive lineman. We fix that. We need to keep going there. I mean, I guess it depends on your position, right? And who's coming out of college and not. But clearly the areas of need. Well, okay, here's the problem. Every area is an area of need except quarterback and running back. So.
Mm-hmm. Am I the only one wrong in thinking we draft defense?
I mean.
I draft the middle replacements. Linebacker.
Yeah.
You need a replacement for...
Can you imagine a kid that has a chance to sit for 2 years being under the tutelage of Brian Urlacher?
Yeah, he would be very good.
Yeah.
As long as he's got the tools.
Think Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You could just come into a good situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And having Brian Urlacher at any time in any point of his career is a good fucking situation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look what it did for Hillenmeyer, who backed him
was
up
god
and played next to him. Was god awful, but he learned from Urlacher and actually turned
right.
You know, played fairly well when he was with him.
Yeah. And, so, you know, but the problem it just is, if Jerry Angelo is still the person in charge of those draft picks, then I have no confidence in them.
What about safety?
We need a safety as well. I mean,
can you imagine us pulling out of our ass another Mike Brown pick?
That would be amazing. I mean, because again, Harris's contract is expiring, so who are they going to be? You know, Lovey never uses, like, he's used so many different safety combinations since, which is inexcusable because the entire Cover 2 scheme revolves around having really good safeties. But
yeah,
we've had, just listen to some of these names and shudder at the memories. Craig Steltz, Al Afalaza, Awful Lava. Asshole. You know, that asshole that I'm talking about. Kevin Payne was terrible. You know, the last good safety we had was Chris Harris, and we gave him away to Carolina and had to trade for him back. So
no, I thought it was Philadelphia.
I don't remember. Either way, we gave him away and we had to get him back. So
what a dumbass team.
Yeah.
I think it was the Panthers.
I think so too. But I was just
It was the Panthers.
Okay.
That's
Wikipedia
right.
Says Harris was traded to the Panthers for a fifth round draft pick. And the and we exchanged a linebacker, Jamar Williams.
Honestly, if we should just trade all our draft picks to get already proven players, because everyone who trusts Jerry Angelo with their draft picks, raise your hand.
Yeah, because his best draft pick is Jay Cutler.
That's right.
So true.
That's holy right.
Shit. You gotta remember, this is the man that drafted Rex Grossman. No.
I just vomited a little bit.
But the other huge problem is the McCaskies. You know, they're not an owner like, excuse me for making this comparison, but they're not an owner like Tom Ricketts. They don't care about winning. They want to make money off the franchise.
$20 million
So
under the cap, yet we still have a running back.
And I
heard this song on the radio earlier today.
I can
attest
to them being cheap because Virginia lives a mile and a half away from me.
Oh really?
Yeah,
you should kill her
in a little like bungalow in Des Plaines. Yeah,
I will be your alibi.
She's apparently made the joke before at owners conventions, owners meetings, that she's probably the only owner that lives in like a one or two bedroom house.
Wow, yeah, that is cheap.
You can actually look up her address and find her house.
Would it be my alibi?
Not that cheap.
Anyway, so that's a little gloom and doomy, I think, that whole conversation. But it's definitely worth having. And, you know, I noticed that a lot of the other Bears fans were having similar conversations, as much as there's not a ton of hope for the future just because the offensive line is so bad. And we've consistently been inept at getting it better. But what?
I think this should really pull it all together, what we're trying to say. Last night, or Monday night, I almost died because I drank too much after that game. Now, I'm not one of those kids who drinks a lot because he's at a party or whatever. I was alone.
So. Yeah, it was bad and it was painful, and you know, we want to beat the Lions. And at least most Lions fans were classy about it, but I do want to say I had two Lions fans who messaged me on Reddit after the game about comments that I had made literally a month ago. So like after week one, probably, or before the season started even. And they were oh, you're such an asshole. How could you ever think that the Bears?
At least I didn't get it that bad.
I did.
They asked in the NFL game thread where I was. So I replied to them. I was like, I'm here. And had a good discussion with them about where I think the team is and where the Bears are. I was like, I still don't think you guys have faced a good team because we're just a step above the Vikings.
Yeah, I still maintain that. So we're not good either. I don't think they've faced a team with a winning record yet. So But we'll see. I mean, they're definitely better than us right now. So
they're like the Bears of last year.
Yeah. Except that instead of nobody giving them credit, everybody is giving them credit.
I was just happy that the Packers won so that the Lions wouldn't be the only unbeaten team, because my brain almost exploded thinking about that.
Yeah.
And I pray that does not happen.
Yeah, we play them again in 5 weeks, and you know, with hopefully some players, some key players back, and hopefully some scheme changes, we have a shot at beating them, especially at home. I did not see an invincible team. I saw a good team, but that team that also got lucky.
Fucking awful.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It's just,
I saw a quarterback who overthrows every wide receiver not named Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, really.
So, and their defense, I mean, their run defense was, they got gashed for 111 yards, and they had the amount of pressure they had, honestly, to give up 250 passing yards is pretty inexcusable with the amount of pressure they're getting on today. So, not impressed, but they did beat us, and they beat us soundly, so I have to give props and say thanks to most of you Lions fans for being classy about it. And those two who messaged me, I really hope that you have something more important in your life going on than the Detroit Lions, because let me tell you, that's sad.
Can you just think about the Lions imploding on themselves in the playoffs or in the postseason somewhere? Ooh, makes me warm and fuzzy.
Yeah.
All right, let's blow through these last three, or maybe this last two things, because we really did already talk about Jerry Angelo and how this season,
yes,
was really showing up for him. But season expectations now.
4-11. 4-12.
4-12,
and not really. That's just wishful thinking.
I did the wishful thinking. I looked through it yesterday and Monday actually, and I thought 5-11 or 6-10.
Wow, you guys are a lot more pessimistic.
We're gonna lose one of those two games to the Vikings.
Well, since our run defense is bad now, we're gonna
lose in London.
Yeah,
I don't think so. The Bucks are pretty bad.
Their offense is good.
You don't understand.
They just only did score 3 points to the 49ers, so hey, okay. The Eagles, that's a toss-up.
Defense. The 49ers defense hasn't given up a 100-yard rusher in 26 games.
Mm-hmm.
That's impressive, so, yeah.
Yeah.
They do have Blunt, and Blunt is good. I bet we... Man, I don't know if I have enough... Okay, I'm not going to say four. I bet we win the next three.
You know,
I feel
what?
Confident saying that.
Watching all these games with the blowouts that we've had recently, it just, the key plays that people make on defense are because they know the personnel that's out there, they know what play they're running, and they know what to jump the gun and like tackle for a loss of yards or get an interception. It's film study. It really is. And the Bears, it just looks like they aren't doing it.
Yeah.
We were just like, oh, we're going to cover two. Fuck that, dude. Run a decent play once in a while.
Yeah, they've definitely... It just seems like they've lost a step mentally and physically, and it's depressing.
I mean,
and so, kind of, I'm looking at the schedule and saying, well, we can stop the teams with bad offenses. But
who do you think has a bad offense there outside of like Kansas City and Denver?
The Eagles.
The Eagles do. The mm-hmm. Vikings... They have Adrian Peterson, but besides that, they have absolutely nothing. So, just blitz. Like, seriously, Donovan McNabb is epically bad. Besides that, the Chiefs, the Broncos, and the Seahawks do. So, let's say I'm going to go with my prediction. I see 6 more wins. I'll go 8-8. I'll go 9-7. I see 7.
I'll take you on that.
Just good enough to not.
Though.
Yeah, no, it won't. And it's just good enough to have a draft pick not worth having. So.
Yeah, because we'll be in the 15s.
Yeah.
You say 9-7. I say 7-9.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still sticking with 5-11, 6-10, 5 or 6 wins.
All right. Well. I guess I'm the optimistic.
And we kind of just did preview the Vikings a bit. It's really just Jared Allen and Adrian Peterson.
Yeah. Well, let's make official sack predictions this week. So not Jared Allen specifically, and then the entire Minnesota defense, since it's boring to predict the score. What do you guys think?
4 sacks for Jared Allen. 6 sacks in total by the Minnesota defense.
6 sacks for Jared Allen. 9 total.
Holy God. The worst part is it could happen.
And Cutler just dead on the field.
It could very well happen.
Hold on. Speculation question. Would you guys support Cutler if he left for a different team?
Yes.
I would understand, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. He's getting killed here. That's another depressing thing about the future is, well, his contract's up in 2 years, and do you think he's going to want to re-sign?
No.
No, I absolutely wouldn't. So I'm trying to think of some sort of optimistic note that we can end on, but I can't really think of anything, so...
We still have Urlacher.
We still have Brian Urlacher.
He's looking pretty old.
Yeah, but he's still smart as F.
Hold on. I'm thinking of there's something good here. Our schedule is like easy as balls from now on.
That's true. We did play a brutal first 5 games there. Yeah, so
who the hell scheduled it that we get the AFC West 4 weeks in a row?
We should kiss them.
Well, I mean, the first two are going to destroy us.
Oh yeah. But
so the rest of it. And who knows? Actually, Denver unfortunately is a toss up now because who the hell knows what that abortion survivor is going to do. I mean,
yeah,
you have no idea how that team is going to change. That's a scary thing. They could turn out to be a good offense.
I will shave my hair, and I will kill myself.
And then buy everyone in Reddit. Gold.
Fuck Reddit, guys.
God damn it. That guy, who was it that said he'd buy Reddit gold?
Danny
Cavalieri or something. That was pretty good.
He's going to be out a lot of money.
It does seem that way. So.
Yeah, sorry, buddy.
All right.
I can't think of anything optimistic, guys, so. Oh, here you go. If you do want to root for a winning football team this year, everyone, check out the Illinois Fighting Illini playing Ohio State on
ABC. Oh, it's Ohio State. They're dead in the water anyway. Yeah. They still have to play Michigan, though, and they still have to play Nebraska, right?
They have a good offensive lineman. Maybe the Bears will draft him. He'll get drafted this year.
What other NFL teams are you guys looking at right now?
Oh, none. When the Bears aren't good, I don't have the heart to watch any other football games. Yeah.
What about you, Brad?
I'm praying that the Packers keep the balance in the NFC North and beat the... Yeah, that's really it. I mean, I'm following the Pats and the Jets a bit, too, but... I'm
becoming a fan of every
AFC. And the 49ers because of Harbaugh.
Yeah, Super yeah, 49ers.
Oh, yeah, the 49ers. I could get behind the 49ers. I usually like the Jets. I know everybody hates the Jets, but I love the Jets. I think they're hilarious, so...
I can't like any New York team. I'm stuck between New England and New York. I'm like in that middle tri-state area. So every time somebody mentions like football or baseball, I just want to punch them right in the fucking face. So I'm so happy the Yankees became irrelevant because that literally like stopped so many conversations.
You know, I just realized that I forgot that the Cleveland Browns exist because I haven't heard anything about them this year. Where have they been?
Wow.
It's like, I forgot that they're there. Huh. I just realized that.
Wow.
We'll end on that.
All right. Goodbye, everyone.
Good night, everyone.